The Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording.
Good afternoon. Welcome to our panel on teaching styles. I had to think for a second, which one is this? I'm just going to get some housekeeping out of the way, all of these things. I'm just going to read out to you. I'm sure you've heard them already, but you get to hear them, I think, every time you sit at a session, right? Please note that all sessions are being recorded. We would appreciate if you took the time to fill out the survey so that we can keep improving the conference experience for you. There's a QR code in the program at the registration desk, and as you leave, if you prefer that. Just a quick after lunch reminder to make sure that your phones are turned off. We would like to encourage you to support the vendors that have invested both time and money to offer you their product, even if you find it cheaper elsewhere. Please show them your appreciation for coming out by honoring their investment. Then bring your receipts to the Mentor Center to redeem your entries into our prize draws. You can get one entry for every $20 spent. If you cannot join us tomorrow, we ask that you drop your lanyards off at the registration table. And Jamie, do you want to give a little wave? She'll be at the Mentor Center following this session if you'd like to continue any of the conversations. My name is Heather Teichrib. I'm going to be the moderator for this panel today. My husband, Dana, and I have 10 children and almost 6 grandchildren. This is an exciting year for us because we are graduating our 5th, which means I'm half done, but won't be done for many, many years. This is a really interesting and exciting topic for me, or topics, because over the years, we've been homeschooling for 21 years, and over the years, I have looked into so many different teaching styles, teaching methods. You'll probably hear this word eclectic quite often. I think many of us are eclectic and kind of dabble in this and in that, depending on the subject, depending on the year, depending on our life circumstances. And so I very much appreciate so many different styles that we're going to hear about and many that we're not going to be able to talk about today. I love how diverse homeschooling is. I love how it can look differently for all of us. What one family does isn't necessarily how another family is going to find homeschooling to work for them. And that's okay. In a day and age where I find we are very, it's easy to judge others. It's easy to be overly opinionated. I think that it's great to be able to listen to how it works in different families. And we are all very different, and we all come to this from different places and different spaces in our life. And so to be able to hear from others what works is a real blessing. Okay, there are so many different methods and styles, and as I was looking into this, there's some that I hadn't even heard of before. There's classical, there's Charlotte Mason, there's a more traditional approach, literature-based, there's online school, unschooling, Montessori, unit studies, project-based, Waldorf. I read there's game school. I had never even heard of that. I think my kids would love that, but I'm not even going to mention it. road schooling, I think that'd be great to be able to just be on the road and take your travels and your school with you on your travels, and or world schooling. I don't know if you've ever heard of you. I used to work with a nurse who took her kids out of school for the year and traveled the world. How amazing would that be if we all won the lottery? So we are very blessed to have these four homeschooling moms with us today to talk about their different teaching styles. We're going to be hearing about a traditional or out-of-the-box approach. We're going to be hearing about Charlotte Mason using unit studies in our teaching and a literary approach to schooling. I'm going to let them introduce themselves. So you want to start, Vera?
Am I on? Yeah? Can you hear me? No. Is it? Hello? 1, 2, 3. Not on? Is that better? Not really working? Should I use yours?
There we go. Did you have to crank it?
Yeah.
We're going to get feedback now, eh? Are we good? Okay. My name is Vera Loudon. I am a mother of 14. You can all be shocked because I get that reaction all the time. My husband, Jim, and I have been married for almost 32 years, and we have 14 children and 6 grandbabies now. So it's a wonderful life. We live just north of Beausejour on 120 acres of pine forest. Jim and I were both public school grads, and when we got married, we had not even discussed children or never mind what we were going to do for education for these children. So about 3 years after we got married, the Lord convicted us about the fact that children are a blessing. So we thought, oh, okay. So anyway, we started our family and here we are. We have homeschooled since our oldest was 4 years old. I think she's in the session. And so that's almost 24 years now. And we're halfway done. So, woohoo, just like Heather.
Hi, I'm Shauna Wagenhofer. I had my kids this week. They asked me how long I've been involved in homeschooling, and we did the math, and it's actually 39 years. I was the student for most of those years, but now I'm the teacher, apparently. But yeah, I feel like I'm still learning a lot. My parents homeschooled me from the time I was 7. And yeah, I now have 4 children. The youngest is grade 7, and my oldest is graduated. My husband and I live in southern Manitoba. One of the first questions I asked him when I knew he was serious about getting married was, how do you feel about homeschooling? Because that's my plan for my kids. And he was totally on board, so it was good. One of the things that I really have enjoyed about homeschooling is that I have the opportunity to disciple my children and to influence their worldview. I really enjoyed the ability to have a close relationship with them as well. I feel like being with them has enabled us to become good friends, and I really appreciate them coming to me with their questions and with all their hopes and dreams and just being willing to share and be open with me about the things that they are learning in life.
Hi, I'm Jamie, and my husband Jared and I live in southeast Manitoba, about 15 minutes outside of Winnipeg. We have 13 children. We've graduated 3 of them, so 2 live in Alberta now, and 1 is most of the time at Bible camp working. And then we have the 10 younger ones at home. So we've homeschooled ever since we had our first, right? So he's 22 now, so whatever, how many that makes.
Hi, I'm Danielle Kerpluck. I was talking to these lovely ladies with these 10, 14, 13, like amazing, amazing numbers of blessings in their family. I have 5. I thought that was big, but this is props. So we have a 17-year-old all the way to a 5-year-old, and they just kind of span those ages. And we've been homeschooling since my oldest was in grade one. He went to kindergarten, and then we homeschooled after that. And that kind of all started when a friend of mine recommended a book to me. I always thought that I would send my kids to public school like I attended. And a friend of mine said, you should read this. Even if you don't want to homeschool, every mom should read this book. And it was called A Charlotte Mason Companion, big purple book. And my oldest was 18 months old. And that's when my wheels started ticking, and I started, God planted a seed of the beauty of home educating. So yeah, since then, we tried it for 1 year with our son, and then received that piece that, yep, this is for our family. And yeah. This is history, I guess.
I love listening to how people came to this journey. There's so many different stories. People pull their kids out. People never thought of sending their kids to school in the first place. Or, you know, who touched their life, or who the Lord allowed to touch your life to send you on this journey. It's really interesting. Okay, can you please, each of us, tell us how you homeschool in your family, the specific style you use, and how you implement that into your day and your homeschool routine?
Okay, so for us, when we first started out, we had very high academic... Jenny, like this? Okay. We had very high academic goals, and chose very expensive curriculum. After about a decade of this, I realized that not every child would thrive with the same style. You'd think I'd figure this out sooner. I am pretty stubborn. I needed to find a curriculum style that did the organization for me, so that whether I was dealing with everyday occurrences in life, or pregnancy, or adjusting to a newborn, the style could not be completely dependent on me. Raising a large family just made that impossible. I could not imagine, and I have high respect for women who can sit down in the evening and come up with the next day's lesson plans and get all the details figured out. I think that's absolutely amazing, but I could never do that. So I have to find something that would be an easier curriculum. So it needed to be a complete curriculum, or a boxed curriculum, as some call it, was a lifesaver for our family. It freed up my brain space. I simply didn't have the time to lesson plan every evening, so I knew that that wasn't going to work for me. So we chose a very organized curriculum, but even that was a struggle for our oldest son. So when he was in grade 9, I felt like I was losing him. He was losing any motivation he had to continue studying. He was struggling a lot with the workload. So I began checking around for a simpler style for him, and that's when I purchased the box curriculum ACE there in the vendor hall. And I just found that the smaller booklets were just much more doable for him. He just did really well with that kind of style. So I switched our kids slowly over to that. Our oldest actually loved, the bigger the books, the better they were. So she thrived with big, big, big books. So some students are like that. Others need like smaller bite-sized pieces. So that was what worked for our son. He did very well with that, graduated at 18 and attended Red River for his carpentry. And got his red seal with flying colors. I find often people will say that you can't, how did I say that? That boxed curriculum stifles creativity. But I have found that is not true. It is not true for my family. Our children normally, let me see, where was I? I have it written down here. I just found that, it has much more to do with what you encourage them to do with their free time. Our children normally completed their daily schoolwork within 2 to 4 hours, which gave them many hours to pursue other interests. So some of the things that our children have pursued on the creativity side would be designing clothes, quilting, carpentry, mechanics, raising dogs, running a baking business, painting, authoring a book, music, filmmaking, and all that stuff, photography. our children continue to thrive in this combination of boxed curriculum balanced with creative free time. So I would say your homeschool style must flow with your lifestyle. Often it is stressed to moms, find your child's learning style. Oh, that's the utmost important thing that they tell you to find. But I found for myself, that's kind of impossible when you have a wide range of ages of children in your home. It's really difficult to cater their education constantly to everything. So I found I actually needed to find my teaching style more than their learning style. Because if I'm trying to teach a style that doesn't work for me, well, I'm going to be frustrated, and then everyone's frustrated. So often they kind of had to just learn to go with what I decided to do, because it was just simpler that way for us. So this really did make a world of a difference in our home. And I still need to be flexible and adjust things. If I see a child is struggling in a certain style or setting, then of course you can just take a step back and say, okay, what can we change here? Maybe there's something that needs to be changed up. You don't have to stick to that curriculum. And I think for a lot of homeschoolers, when you first begin, a laid out, organized box curriculum can be very helpful when you first start homeschooling, because there's so much to navigate. And a lot of the time, beginners homeschooling parents are very easily overwhelmed, because you're afraid you're not going to meet all the requirements. Are your children getting enough of an education? So that just kind of takes the load off of your mind for the while you're getting settled into homeschooling. Now, some of you may be fine to just throw it all out and just do your own style, whatever. But I find a lot of the time to get started, it's good to have something that's kind of laid out. And then you branch out from there. You'll discover what works best for your family. If the boxed, more traditional style is working, don't worry about it. It's probably a good thing. But you can always branch out later on. You don't have to stick with one style for the rest of your life. You can switch things out. You're free to do whatever you want when you're the homeschool parent. I would just also encourage you, like, spend time reading what God's word says about teaching our children. Often you will notice the word diligently is used. We are to teach diligently in every area of life. So this needs to be our vision for homeschooling, to see it as a privilege to raise up the next generation. So our leading child psychologists and educators can't really agree on what's best for our children. So often you'll hear, it's never too early. Next year it'll be, it's never too late. So you can be tossed back and forth, like extreme to extreme. So that's why I think it's so important to go to the word, go to the Lord. Like James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So it's, you got to go back to that. And if he's given you a burden for the homeschooling, he will give you the strength to do it and the grace for that. So yeah, that's kind of our style. Traditional, we do a lot of our book work in the mornings. A couple hours of book work in the morning is usually all they need, and then they have the afternoon to do whatever they are interested in doing, or playtime or reading or pretty much anything they want to do. So yeah.
So my style is probably almost the opposite of theirs. We tend to do a lot from life and just from walking alongside our children. We don't ever use a curriculum, honestly. Most of it just from life. Maybe we use a lot of literature and a lot of conversation. We believe that children learn best when they're interested and they're engaged, and that when they're involved in something, that it's going to help them retain what they have learned. So our kids tend to do a lot of very random things, it seems, but they're learning through all of it. And we're doing it alongside them to help encourage them to continue to learn and to grow and who God made them to be. One way that we do this is we will use unit studies often in our home. You can use those to deep dive into a topic that somebody's interested in. Usually you find something that all the kids are interested in, and we will do a unit study on that so that I can teach all of them together. You can include all of the subjects in that unit. and make sure that they're getting all the different requirements that they need while learning about something that they may be interested in. So we'll often gather a lot of books for that. I'm pretty big on lots of good literature, and we do a lot of reading together. We do hands-on projects. And I also will often have them teach their friends. When we're at the end of a unit, we'll have friends over for a party and then have them present to their friends the things that they have learned. I think that that really helps them to retain and to learn even deeper when they're having to present it to someone else. For our daily routine, we usually start school after chores sometime. We spend some time in the Bible and then spend an hour or two reading together and talking about what we've read and maybe working on a project or two.
So our style, I think they would describe it as if literature-based family style would be the best way I could think of to describe it. I think when I started, I was brand new to the homeschool group. I didn't know hardly anybody in homeschool except for the one family I'd met who had kind of opened our minds to that idea. And so initially, I just did exactly what they did. I'm like, I'll just buy all the fan fiction and we'll start with that, because you have to start somewhere. And coming to the first conference, I was really overwhelmed by just all the options. So I just copied my friends and tweaked things as the years progressed, right? I didn't like this, so we took it off and just tried something different until we found kind of what we were more comfortable with. So I am a really big bookworm. I love reading. And I want my kids to love reading. And I want them to love really good, like the classics, right? The old books that were written hundreds of years ago. I want them to enjoy Shakespeare and realize he's not just this old dead guy who talks in weird language, right? So I wanted to incorporate that into my school. That was a big deal to me. And I think initially, it was actually Charlotte Mason where I started. I used simply Charlotte Mason for a couple of years. But there were pieces of that just weren't really driving with our family and weren't working well. So we moved into this. And so the goal is we teach everybody together as much as we can, not from the same books, but we try to study the same topic. So like, for example, this year, our science, we are all learning botany, right? My youngest child is 2, so obviously it's not doing school yet, but 2, my oldest is graduating this year, and they are all learning botany. I have one curriculum I'm working with my younger children, and then a separate one for my teens, but there are some books that cross over. We try not to be too heavy on the textbooks, but rather to use real books that teach the same concept, but through engaging stories. And does that make sense? Engaging stories. So, and there have been some of the books with the high schoolers that we've actually been able to do is read aloud with the whole family. And even the younger ones, not the littles, but even my like 7, 8-year-olds have loved them and gained a lot from them and pulled a lot of them. So we like to try to keep everybody learning together as much as we can. I find with a really big family, it's hard to have everybody together. It's easy for everybody to go off on their own, right? For my teams to take their school and go to their little corners and do their thing. And then we don't see each other much all day. And I find it allows for making common memories and allows for lots of discussion of what's being learned, right, for the younger, so learning about what the olders are learning and how it's taken their learning further, and watching the other kids do their experiments and even helping. I find it helps to build on that.
Hi, I'm going to talk about Charlotte Mason a little bit, because Charlotte Mason had a philosophy. I could go off on a bunch of different areas, but I'll try to keep it succinct. And maybe just mention a few things that might spark an interest in some people to explore her ideas a little bit more. Charlotte Mason was a 19th century British educator who believed that educating was not merely about filling a child's mind with facts. So she saw education as an atmosphere, a discipline, and a life. Her views resonated deeply with my faith and my belief and the inherent dignity and potential of each child. So as I read her works, I felt as though I had found a mentor. Her keen observations of children and the world around her encouraged me to see education as something beyond textbooks or tests. Charlotte Mason believed that children are born persons full of curiosity and wonder and God-given potential, and that it's our sacred duty as parents and educators to nurture their hearts, minds, and souls by offering them a feast of beautiful ideas. So when my eldest reached kindergarten age, we initially enrolled him in school, but it soon became clear that the traditional school environment wasn't right for our family. I longed for something more, not just academically, but I knew he thrived with family connection. Taking a leap of faith, I brought him home and began our homeschooling journey. And 11 years later, here we are. Charlotte Mason's philosophy, I'll just try to speak on those three points, being an atmosphere, a discipline, and a life. So her philosophy has been the bedrock of our homeschooling. Her belief that education is an atmosphere, a discipline, and a life has shaped our days, our habits, and our family culture. So what did she mean by this? Education as an atmosphere. Charlotte Mason believed that the home environment is essential to a child's education. So this means that the attitudes and values we as parents cultivate in our day-to-day lives are one of primary educators of our children. And of course, as we all know, if mom's in a bad mood, it kind of sets a tone. So just that idea that the atmosphere that we cultivate as moms and dads in the home is educating them in our attitudes, our conversations, our prayer life, our own habits. So it was first setting that atmosphere of education and learning in the home. Education as a discipline. Charlotte Mason believed in cultivating good habits in our children, and just thinking about that when we were planning for our homeschooling, I guess, schedule and stuff, like, what does my child need to cultivate? What habits do they need to cultivate? Whether that's the habit of obedience or attentiveness in their studies, or kindness towards a sibling, just being aware of the habits, and that cultivating these habits are part of education. And then education as a life. This is probably one of her most famous, or what she's known for, the concept that the materials should be living materials. So she's known for her living books, using living books instead of textbooks. And what is a living book? Sonia Schaefer here writes, a living book is written by one author with a passion for the subject and written in a narrative story form. These books draw the reader into a storyline and make the events come alive. So there's a lot of living books in the curriculum hall, and I'm sure everybody on the panel enjoys living books with their children. Charlotte also believed in introducing children to great ideas of the past through beauty. So she was all about just giving the kids beautiful things and the most beautiful things, whether it be art, music, literature. One of her main methods for, I guess, digesting these beautiful ideas was narration. So narration is after my child reads, they're just encouraged, or after I read something to them, they're encouraged to tell it back in their own words. It's as simple as that, whether it's looking at a painting or listening to a piece of music or reading literature together. Narration is just simply telling it back and getting into the habit of telling back. So these living ideas kind of spilled over into other methods. So for math, it would look like maybe a pictorial view of math before going into writing, or manipulatives before going into writing. And we see that in a lot of different math curriculums as well. So just keeping those ideas living, even in numbers. She encouraged nature study. So that would be going outside and observing nature, and maybe even having like a nature notebook, and drawing and recording observations, using field guides to explore. And that would be the first form of studying science. She also used copywork and dictation for spelling and for grammar. And that would be using living passages, whether it's from scripture or poetry, to copy out and to learn how to spell through that way. Copy work is just copying, and dictation is when you study a passage, put it aside, and then somebody reads it to you and you write it out. So very similar to spelling, but she just used living materials for that. And then picture study, music study, and that again is just introducing the children to works of art, very simply letting them look at them and enjoy them. So what does a typical day in a Charlotte Mason education look like? Very similar to, I'm sure, all the ladies on the panel. We start our mornings together, and we are done usually around lunchtime as well. So we gather for read-alouds, and we read from living books, or we look at some art or listen to music. We call it morning time, or we sing hymns or folk songs, just some shared learning together. And then after that, the children have their independent work. Some of them need mom to sit with them more. So for that, that's where they do their math, or they'll do their copy work, or they'll have their independent readings based on the different subjects that they're learning in history, geography, literature. And yeah, and they'll, you know, the older ones will write their narrations from the readings. And our lessons are intentionally short, usually completed before lunch. Afternoons are usually left open for being outside, or practicing music, or art, handicrafts, anything like that. Through Charlotte Mason's writings, I've learned to see my role is to cultivate an environment where each child can flourish, growing at her own pace and exploring the gift God has given them. I'm constantly reminded of one of her main principles, is that the Holy Spirit is the ultimate educator, and I'm called to simply be faithful and present to the children. And looking back over the past 11 years, I can say without hesitation that homeschooling with Charlotte Mason's guidance has been one of the greatest blessings in our homeschool. Her philosophy has brought joy, peace, and purpose to our home. So I would encourage anybody who is looking for renewed inspiration or just starting out to give her writings a chance, because she has some beautiful encouraging ideas in them. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing all that. You can see the diversity in this panel, and I really like what Vera said. I think that sometimes in our minds we get caught up with something, oh, this is going to work, and then we try to practice it out in our family, and whether it's because of a season of life or whatever your family looks like that is different from somebody else's, sometimes those don't pan out. And so I very much, like Vera started out, is this going to shock you, Vera? I started out with a box curriculum too. We always laugh because we're so opposite in what we do, but it works for her family, it works for my family, it works in these ladies' families too. And I think that sometimes it just takes some time. Some people bang on, figure it out, and good for you if you can come out and figure it out the first time around. Some of us get bored and we figured it out, but then we're bored of what we figured out and we have to figure something else out. And in all honesty, in my life, I might get bored faster than my kids, and they might be okay with it. And I know that might kind of sound strange, but when you're having to teach day after day after day, you really do have to figure out what works for you as well as for your child. We always get asked curriculum. What specific curriculum do you use? Yeah, you told me what you use, but what do you use? So, can you give us specific resources, curriculum, that even if you don't use them specifically in your home, just examples of the resources and curriculum that would fall into the category of the teaching style that you do in your home?
Okay. I mean, I think the cool thing about Charlotte Mason is you could give a complete education just with some great living books and take the spelling and grammar and everything out of, you know, the Bible and a library bookshelf. But some resources that I go back to each year is always a math curriculum and copy workbooks. Those are our two main resources that we will use. That are consumable, and then wonderful book lists from like Ambleside Online. We often go there to find the books for each subject for the children to read from, or for me to read to them. So the math curriculum that we're using is Singapore. I've tried probably six other ones. Don't do that. But that one we're using right now. And there's some great copy workbooks in the curriculum hall as well. I found copy workbooks with some beautiful literature passages to copy from, very handy. Simply Charlotte Mason has great resources, but also just great books, and building a library is never a waste of money. That's my recommendation.
Before you pass that on, can you tell us a little bit about what is a living book?
So a living book, Charlotte Mason would, I guess, describe it as, usually it's one writer that writes about a topic that they're passionate about, because we can't all find mentors that are passionate about every topic to come and sit at our table and teach our kids. That would be really cool. We can find books that these people have written. So we're thinking of even the great books of literature, of course, would be living books. My kids love these. Well, basically, I think the litmus test was, if you open up the book and you read it and you can talk about it after you read it and you want to turn that page and it grabs you, that's a living book. So I think that's what Sonia Schaefer was kind of explaining. Like, a living book is something you want to keep reading. It gives you these wonderful ideas, usually written by one person. And
I just wanted, we talk about living books a lot. And Simply Charlotte Mason is found online too, I think, mostly, right? Okay.
Online and Learning House sells Simply Charlotte Mason stuff in the vendor hall. So you're looking to buy some of Simply Charlotte Mason stuff, they are the only vendors in our hall that sell it. I think my favorite resource is my home library. And I'm pretty passionate about building my home library. I frequent thrift stores and use book fairs and the curriculum hall, right? I like to order from thrift books every now and then and get it delivered to the border. So I've got a whole room of books in my house, and most of the bedrooms have bookshelves in them as well. That's probably my favorite resource. Curriculum wise, math does not work family style. Just everybody has to work at the level they're at. So we use MathUC with my little ones because I like MathUC, and if I have to walk them through it, that's what I'm using. And my older ones use CTC Math Online, so they can go online and listen to it and do it without too much interference from me. So literature-based, we use Mystery History for our history, and I love it. It is written so beautifully, and it is so Christ-centered. So we read the lesson together from the textbook with everybody in the same room, and then I keep a shelf or two of books, all either nonfiction or historical fiction, for them to dive deeper into, right? I require them to read a certain number per quarter. Mystery of History also gives you ideas for assignments and activities to jive with the lesson. Like, each lesson comes with its own separate recommended activities. There's usually two or three options, and for each age level, so the younger ones, the middle schoolers, and the high schoolers. And so I will go through the activities. Sometimes I let them pick, and sometimes I just assign what I want them to do from there. So that's how we use that. And then pull in our own books on the side. And then probably my favorite literature resource these days, or curriculum, is a company called Guest Hollow. They are a mom and pop run company out of the U.S. And it's all online. Like, when you pay for it, you're buying the schedule. So when you get it, it's a mile long book list. It's like a buffet. That's how they explain it. So you come to this, they give you way more books and resources than any family could possibly do in a year. And you can tailor it to your family. So you look at this list of however many dozens of books, and you tailor that down to, what is my kid going to be interested in, right? So I love that I can take Guest Hollow Botany with three high schoolers, and it's not going to be the exact same for all three of them, even though we're using the same curriculum, right? I love that sometimes the books can be read to the whole family. So with Botany, we took, there were three biographies, one on Milton Hershey, and one on, George Washington Carver, and one on Carl Linnaeus, and we read them out loud to the whole family. And my younger kids, that was last summer when we started it, they still talk about it. They love Milton Hershey. They want to go to Hershey and see the Hershey Kiss lights, right, and stuff. It was really good. So that's what I love about it. that enables me to personalize it, even though we're all using the same curriculum. I organized it online on a website called Trello. So I make a Trello board, and I usually do like a different, for each day, there's a, what do you call it? I can't think of what they call it now in Trello. Anyway, so like day one, I'll have the teen stuff at the top, so they know they can click on the links and they can look at their list of this is what I have to accomplish today. Each book is on there. Any videos, I link right into that Trello board. And then I have the younger kids stuff right below that. So I just have to scroll down and I know what I'm doing with them. So that's how I can, I'll be at the Mentor Center after. If anybody wants to see, I can open our Trello board on my phone and kind of show you how that works. But that's how I organize the whole group.
I think I'm going to have to echo the books. That is mostly what we use. I have a pretty extensive home library as well. And yeah, just living books that are engaging and exciting for the kids. And we also will use YouTube sometimes. Documentaries are actually really exciting to kids who don't get screen time. So they think that's really great when you turn on the computer and watch a documentary or something. We don't teach formal math in our home until high school. So we'll do a lot of games. We'll do a lot of just life with the kids. And then for high school, I've been using a book called All the Math You'll Ever Need to Know. And that's been working really well for them.
So when we first started out, I had purchased it's like a learning to read program for our oldest, and it's called Christ-Centered Curriculum. It's old, old. And we used to be able to buy it here in the vendor hall, but we haven't had anybody selling that for a long time now. I order it from the U.S. But it's a phonetic-based learning to read program, and I have used it with all of my children, and it works beautifully. So I start them off with that. And then once they're finished with that program, they're reading at a grade 2 level, and then we get them into the ACE, and it's very simple for me. I find my children are all avid readers, and then we add in a lot of these what you call living books on the side, so our children absolutely love reading. So this having it all written out in a traditional curriculum has not stifled their interest in reading. They are huge readers, and almost all of them are into story writing and all of that stuff. So, and the curriculum, I guess the way I looked at it was, the Manitoba education requirement is math, English, social studies, and science. So you kind of need to cover your four basic subjects. And so I figure, you know what, we'll do the curriculum for those four. And the children work through that fairly well. I'm sitting with them most of the time. The older ones are working independently, but ACE has been really good for that for our family. And then every once in a while, add in something else if you want to study like a more Canadian geography or something. Donna Ward, I don't think she's here, is she? Donna Ward. Okay, so she has, her curriculum is amazing. If you're looking for a really nice, what's that? Heritage Resources sells Donna Ward. So it's just a wonderful curriculum, and you can use it for multiple ages of kids. And it's very simple, but my kids all loved it. So those are the basic resources I would suggest. I've kind of kept it really simple over the years. I couldn't do it.
What other resources would fall into that traditional, like what other companies sell that traditional out of the box?
Well, we used to always get a Becca in here. A Becca is what we started out with, but I found it very pricey. We also used a Becca for a couple of high school courses. I think it was grade 11 math, and it was a big struggle. You can get the DVD program. It's probably all online now. I'm not sure I haven't checked into it, but they have very good online program as well. But you'd have to order it online because we never get them up here anymore for some reason. There's a few more in the curriculum hall, like Christian Lights in there. Rod and Staff is very, very basic, traditional. Lots of reading, though, I think.
Okay, Lighthouse Ministries, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and then ACE is also School of Tomorrow would be another name for them. But I don't know what else would be in the curriculum hall for traditional type curriculum, but that's the main one.
I think we started out with Alpha Omega. That would fall over. I don't know. It's been so many years. I don't know if they still have those or where you get them. We got it at Heritage Resources at the time, but I think that is the same sort of boxed set. And so I'll do an advertising plug. Vera, I think I saw one of your girls has a book that they published.
Yes.
See, yeah. It can't stifle creativity if your kid is publishing books, right?
Yeah, if you go in the vendor hall, there's a booth with a bunch of, it's called the Creative Space. Her book is in there. A children's book.
I think that it's important to know that, and I've said it again, I've said it before, but I'll say it again, it's important to see that these different curriculums, whether they appeal to your family or not, work for kids and for each family's kids individually. And I will attest that Vera's kids are very creative, and so if that is a concern, if that is something that is, you know, is that the socialization question of a of the box curriculum? So I hope that you are inspired. I am, actually. Some of you have said some really good things. All of you have said some really good things. And so we're going to open it up to questions. How about some questions now? Anyone? Yes. Right. Masterbooks, it's very much a workbook style book, but it's still touted as more on the Charlotte Mason line. I think that they've tried to incorporate a lot of those ideas in their books. And so they have right from kindergarten on to high school, even into high school. And that's a newer curriculum within the last little bit. I'm dating myself. I don't even know how old that one would be, but I do have some of them. It is. Yeah, they do. Thank you for that. I don't think Generations with Vision, right? Is that what you're asking? Are they here? In the curriculum hall? Like Generations, like Kevin Swanson kind of, yeah, I don't think so. I think, yes, you're right, they do. I did buy from him that. Yeah. And I mean, if he's a great resource, because quite often if they don't have exactly what you're looking for, he might be able to get it in because he does deal with those companies. Okay. I bought that one from Literature for my boys, 10 and 12. I'm not going to tell you that they love it. I don't mind it. I like it. I think it's great. Age appropriate, very Christ-centered. I'm not sure how many of you were here when Kevin Swanson was here, but he is a man on a mission for these kids, and especially boys, to be raised as strong Christian men to raise their own families, to kind of try to take back some of this culture. And so I would say that is a great choice as well. Oh, good. I'm going to tell my boys. Well, some boys like it. You should like it. They have in their head, they don't like reading. And I always tell them, everybody loves reading. You just have to find what you like to read. And I'm still working on them. I have one girl who won't put down books. I just wish that she would pass at least some of that over to her brothers, right?
I did something for Christmas this year that really woke up one of my non-readers, like in a pretty big way, and he is suddenly pouring through books. So it may not work for you, but I'll share it anyway. Last Christmas, like 2023, I saw an idea on Facebook. A lady had posted a picture of a box of books, and they were all wrapped just in plain brown paper, right? And each of them had a label for a month, January, February, March. She had asked her husband and children, teens, for kit for Christmas, would you please go into my shelves and pick 12 books for me and wrap them, one for each month of the year? And I thought, that is the most incredible idea for Christmas. I got all giddy about it, but it was right before Christmas and I had no time to go and try to put this together. So last year, as I went through my thrifting and my book fairs, I tucked aside books for all of my kids so that for Christmas this past year, I could wrap one book for each month of this year. And it has really woken my non-readers up, like in a pretty big way. Like they all, right from my 8-year-old's not quite reading really strong enough yet, but all like 10 and up. We get together every around the first of the month and we all open our new books together and we talk about what we read in the past month and what we would rate it out of 5. And they are reading, they're reading so much. They're picking up books that aren't on their calendar. The book calendar is what I call it. And it was just this one idea I got off Facebook, but and I don't know if it'll work, but it's kind of neat. It's like having Christmas every month, right? You get a new book and it's a big deal. Maybe. We do a lot of reading aloud. We have a biography on the go in the mornings and a fiction one in the evenings. And
the one experience that I had a son who was not into reading on his own, and I kept trying different books that he might enjoy, and none of it was working. And then his dad gave him a technical manual on how to rebuild a certain engine. And he brought it to me and said, Mom, will you read this to me? And I said, no, I'm really not interested. If you want to read it, you got to do it yourself. And, you know, he did. He actually read that whole book, and now he reads all the time. And so I think a lot of it is finding something that they're actually wanting to know.
Can I just give a little plug for Sarah McKenzie's Read Aloud Revival? I don't know if anybody, I'm sure there's a lot of people who have heard about her, but she has great resources on exactly that. So just like awesome book lists for different age groups and tips on how to get your kids reading. One of her tips that I remember her saying was, you know, try to find something that you think your kid might be interested in and say, hey, give the first chapter a read and let's have like a hot chocolate date in the evening so that they have a little bit of a positive experience after reading a chapter and let's talk about it, you know. So just trying to find something, and she has wonderful book lists. Most of those books are very captivating, right? So try to find something. So it's just a matter of getting them the right book and some one-on-one time with mom is always a nice benefit. A positive experience.
Jamie Erickson, if you want to hear it, it's called. Oh, there's a blogger named Jamie Erickson who also has another one similar to Sarah McKenzie, and she comes up with really big book lists. I'll look it up and see if I can find it for after, but yeah. Yeah, there's a similar idea.
And Sarah has a podcast too for anyone who's into that. Yes.
Dave Ramsey, yeah, Total Money Makeover. There's a book, but he has very simple Christian based philosophy on money management. So that would be the first person that pops in my head.
In the vendor hall, we have a vendor Compass Financial. Is it Lauren Robinson? Lauren and Kathy Robinson. They have a course too that you could look into.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
had a plug in for my husband. He has a session tomorrow morning. He's been a really amazing dad. Just spends a lot of time with our kids. I mean, he has a full-time job, often works lots of overtime. But when he is home, he's intentional and spends a lot of time reading the Word with them and learning alongside them. He often invites them on learning adventures, and they'll go off and learn stuff and come back and tell me things I never knew. So it's really neat to watch that happen.
In our home, I am the main teacher. And, of course, my husband has a full-time job, so he can't really be part of that. But I have found for him, his role has been more just to be the encourager. You know, if you both have the vision for homeschooling, but you're not telling her that out loud and encouraging her in that, it becomes really hard for the wife, I think, just to keep going. So I think just to be that encourager. And then, of course, my husband also does a lot of like scripture reading with the kids. He has done a little bit of read aloud. He's really good at reading, but we just need to implement that a little bit more. Other than that, instruct them on how to have a good wrestling match. Right? Especially when you have sons. I have 7 sons. And I have a 17-year-old, a 13-year-old, a 12-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 5-year-old. Boys. And my older two are finished with school. But anyways, often when I'm teaching, and I can see this as an interruption, or I can see it as a blessing when he comes into the room, because he works from home. So he'll come in the room, and all of a sudden the boys are all on the floor in a big wrestling match, and I'm like, I've just lost them all. But it's actually not what it is. It's important for them to get that time just to be physical, you know, and it's bonding, believe it or not. It's very bonding. And the more it hurts, the more bonding it is, apparently. I mean, they're screaming and hollering, and I'm like, you're hurting them! But they just keep coming back for more. So I'm like, okay, this is their physical activity, I guess. And then I find then their brains can kind of get back into their, whatever they're doing, math or reading or whatever. So I think that's a huge part of it, just to help them get rid of the energy. That's instructional, right? So
I find my husband's really good at taking our one aside, whenever he goes to work on a project in the yard or to go do something like that, he's really good at taking them under his wing and teaching them along while he's working. I know my 15-year-old, I see it. I appreciate what's important to him so much, because I see it now. If Jared's out of town or is away doing something and I need something done, he is like in there with those muscles to help out. So it's fine. What I really appreciate, because yeah, like you, I'm the main teacher and Jared's working. But
for us, because our lessons are done during the day when my husband is working, I find the biggest help is when he, you know, takes them after supper to go sledding while I get some quiet time in the house, or if he plays a board game with them, usually it's evening stuff, and he regularly reads them picture books at night before bed. So just those simple things of supporting in the evenings is really important, that family connection.
I think we have to be very, very careful with our husbands not to lump them all into one category. One of my sister's daughter-in-laws had a family, a mom and a dad, who both worked part-time, and they both were involved. They did half homeschooling each, and that was the desire of his heart. And so if that's not the desire of your husband's heart, we need to be okay with that, and we need to be so appreciative of their encouragement and what they do, whether it's wrestling or reading out loud. My husband likes to teach our kids to kill things, and you know, he's a huge hunter. So that's, you know, that's very important in our family. And so, you know, when my husband is going on a big moose trip, who does he take? He takes one of his boys. And so that's, every family looks different. And I think as moms, sometimes we can sit there and go, but her husband does so much. And so we have to be very careful to guard our hearts, I think, not to wish our husbands be different. But that was a good question. So thank you so much for being here. We'll be here for a few minutes if you have any other questions. But and then Jamie will be at the Mentor Center if you would like to continue any conversations. But we appreciate your time here with us today. And thank you, ladies. Sorry, thank you for being here too and for doing this.
Once again, the Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording. Please visit them at learninghouse.ca.